We are all relieved around here to have solved the Jimmy Goldstein cliffhanger. We were all concerned there in a way. That interview did not go the way that we were expecting.
I'm surprised you didn't ask him to join us tomorrow. I mean,
I probably should have, but he disappeared and you were worried about whether he was still with us.
Yes.
Mike, I want to know, I thought that was a win for you. Stugatz was questioning throughout. He was saying, bad idea to put on Jimmy Goldstein, but you put on Jimmy Goldstein instead. We were going to have Stan Van Gundy at 11:30. We bumped him for Jimmy Goldstein. I thought that ended up being a victory for you over Stugatz.
Yeah, I'm happy with the decision. Ultimately, when you book a Jimmy Goldstein, you root for it to kind of go that way.
Right. Like, what were the headlines like for you? What was...
Well, that he was sad. I didn't realize we were going to come out with heartbreak.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to tug at the heartstrings the way that it
did. Right. No, that's fair. I mean, I guess you guys are right. It just...
Chris thought it was sweet. Chris was palpably moved by it.
Sweet. The man was devastated.
But it was sweet. He could tell that he genuinely loves going to these games. And I felt like it was sad, but it also was sweet. And are we sure? Was he getting emotional at points in that interview, or is he just old not to be a jerk?
Well, no, but I already did the jerk move of that because I wasn't sure whether that's what Billy was laughing about. And then Billy's mic went out, and I still don't know. So, Billy, toward the end of that interview, you could not contain your muffled laughter. Like, you were trying to hide it from us and trying to hide from the Zoom, but you thought that things were funny there. Is it because you couldn't tell whether he was just old or whether he was on the verge of tears?
No, I mean, I think that it ended as perfectly as it could end, right? When we spoke to Jimmy yesterday to book him, he seemed very appreciative that we wanted to talk to him. So I'm glad that he was on. He seems like he felt forgotten by the NBA, and we gave him an outlet to come on and talk about the NBA, the sport that he loves. And I don't regret it. I don't regret that booking.
Okay, and you shouldn't, because again, it was a good interview, but I don't feel like I've got a good answer for why you were giggling at, like, why you were laughing toward the end. Was it because I felt like you were laughing before the ending?
I don't know. I mean, it was like 20 minutes ago, I was laughing the way that it ended. It was funny. I'm just going to hear him at the end.
So I want to read some heat stats to you here before we go back to the Marlins, because I do want Billy and Chris to talk a little bit as this game, and Cody, as this game is in a couple of hours here. But just from the Miami Herald, in the past two games without Adebayo and Dragic, the Heat has outscored the Lakers by 17 points in the 90 minutes Butler has been on the court. Los Angeles has outscored Miami by 16 in the 6 minutes he has been on the bench, according to the NBA's tracking stats. And this here is going to be worth noting, all of this, because I'm going to read you a couple of things that will explain why it is and how it is that Jimmy Butler was that tired at the end of the game. Like, I think some people in our audience might be thinking to themselves, wait a minute, why can't Jimmy Butler just play the two extra minutes in the game? Why does he have to sit and rest for a couple of minutes? How does it work that these guys can't play an entire NBA game? I don't think that we understand the physical toll. That's the limits of the human body at the peak of condition, is whatever it is those guys are getting in terms of minutes so that they can be strong at the end of games.
And dismissing that he's chasing LeBron around the entire time and LeBron's chasing him.
You know how long Jimmy Butler played for Tom Thibodeau? This is a vacation.
All right. Well, listen, in that respect, because I think we were watching and we were like, okay, of course he's tired. How could he not be tired? But here's how tired he had to be. According to the NBA's tracking stats, James scored 9 points on 6 shots and committed 7 turnovers during the 32 possessions he was defended by Butler on Sunday. Butler did all of this while playing 45 of the 48 minutes in Game 3, and he also played 45 of the 48 minutes in Game 2. Butler also had the ball for 11.7 minutes in Game 3, according to the NBA's tracking stats, representing just how much he carried the Heat's offense. Okay, you want to hear that again? He held the ball. He had the ball for 11.7 minutes.
Got it.
That's significantly more than his average time of possession this postseason, which is 5.9, okay? So basically, he's doubling the amount of time he has the basketball.
That's the absence of Goron, I would assume, right?
And the just need to work through him. But this is from The Athletic and why it might be hard for him to do that again. Maybe one way to draw a line in the sand between Butler and his competition is to look to distance run, where Butler's 3.37 miles was almost a full mile ahead of LeBron James's 2.47. Butler had 31 more touches than James and threw 19 more passes per NBA stats. 19 passes, as many as Caldwell Pope and Kuzma each threw in the entire game. Having Butler on the floor is like having an extra player out there. Cody, you hate this much stat work. You hate this much data. You don't want to know how much Jimmy Butler ran in that game.
Well, I find it interesting for sure, and it just underlines to me that you can't go into tonight's game expecting Butler to replicate that performance in any shape or form whatsoever. You need the Heat are desperate for somebody else, whether it's a heroic comeback by Adebayo, whether it's Tyler Hero having another one of those nights. The Heat have to have somebody else. It wouldn't shock me at all if Butler came down to earth and had a 17-point game. I mean, you know, you just cannot expect that Jimmy Butler again.
You said in no shape or form. I feel like we can hope for him to replicate it in some shape or form. Like, you know.
He has
like
to.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I agree with Stu Gotts. He's got to be like 28-8-8, like at a minimum, or else we're not winning this game. Unless a Hero or a Kelly Olynyk goes off for like 30, which is probably not going to happen.
And at the same time, I'm not disagreeing with what Greg is saying. It's going to take that Jimmy Butler, that type of performance, combined with someone else stepping up. I don't know who that someone's going to be, if it's Bam, if it's going to be Olynyk again, but it has to be that type of Jimmy performance with another big performance at his side.
Mike, what do you make of what Stan texted us? If you're just listening to this and didn't hear it during the show, this was Stan Van Gundy's analysis of what it is that will happen tonight, even if Bam returns, but especially if Bam returns. He writes, "I'm not sure Bam being back helps them in this series, and I love Bam, but they have had two great offensive games without him. Leonard and Olynyk pull the Laker bigs away from the basket and open up all of the drives in the paint. Lakers blocked 8 shots in game one, and Bam struggled with their size. Olynyk is better offensively, at least, versus this team. Bam is much better defensively and on the boards, but Bam can't guard Davis either, so they'll still have to double."
Sounds like a guy who took Luke Kennard over Bam.
It does. It also sounds like a guy who, oddly enough, picked the Heat entering the series, but you're allowed to change your mind based off of what you saw in game one. There's something certainly to it. I'm not here to bump against his knowledge of the game, and maybe Spo would be wise to ease Bam into certain spots, maybe take advantage of when Anthony Davis goes into the bench, because you can't convince me that 10 minutes of Bam Adebayo, even with this injury, I guess we'll see tonight, is worse off than 0 minutes from Bam Adebayo. It's important to have him out there, I think.
So that concludes our Heat coverage until tomorrow. If you want to be around us tonight, we will have some surprises for you during the Twitch broadcast. We will see you for the Heat game and that watch party. But, Billy, you are just a little bit away now from this NLDS. You said before all of the playoffs started, first of all, going way back, when Todd Hollinsworth was saying, "Why not us? Why not us in this weirdo season?" And people laughed at him. You supported Todd Hollinsworth and you said, "Why not us?" And then you got to the playoffs and you were like, "I'm not afraid of the Cubs. I have no reason to fear the Cubs, even though I'm a fearful creature. But I'll worry about the Braves when they get here," because you were a little bit scared of the Braves. So now here are the Braves.
Yeah, here they are, Dan. Why not us? I don't think that I'm super afraid of these Braves. Now, they're playing at Minute Maid Park, which is not great because Minute Maid Park seems to be a small park where lots of balls fly out. And the Braves like to hit home runs. And I don't think the Marlins are going to be able to out-home run the Braves. But can they out-pitch the Braves? Because, Dan, the best way to not give up a home run is to pitch better than the hitter. So can our pitchers pitch better than their hitters can hit? I don't know.
If I'm trying to, like, you know, evaluate this series, it, like, let's say the Braves are going to be the home team in Petco Park. So if I want to look at their splits for the season, should I look at what they did at home or what they did on the road?
You need to do what they did at Petco Park.
Just they didn't play there.
Well, there you go. That's the analysis that you have for the game. Billy, I feel like you're changing your tune a little bit. I feel like those last three games against the Braves, 3 of 4, where you lost each of the games by 10 runs, and it shook your playoff confidence. That was as scared and as down as I've seen you this season, the last few games against the Braves.
Yeah, but that was in the past. Did you see what happened with the Cubs and the fake weather and the investigation, which has been put on hold, but it's not closed just yet? Did you see what happened in that series? Oh, pitching. don't do this to me. Don't get me excited about this, because now I'm getting to the point where I'm going to get excited and I'm going to be disappointed if things don't go, you know, the way that I'd like them to go.
But yeah, but we want you really to be. We want you to be nervous. We don't want you to be cocky. Like, you're like, yeah, the Braves, they don't really intimidate me. Yeah, I'm okay with the Braves. No, we need you to be a nervous wreck, man. That's what we need from you.
Well, I mean, they played the Braves a ton of times this year. They had a game that they lost by 20. If we go to the run differential that we constantly go to, that against the Braves is probably minus 600. So I don't know what's going on here. You know, they played 10 times. They won four of them. So you think, you know, just about evenly play this season series. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Cody, how?
That's what I want to hear.
Cody, how was your podcast with Billy Gill? You and Chris, are people going to get a firm and strong Marlins breakdown if they go to the Greg Cody podcast featuring Greg Cody and Billy Gill?
Yeah, I thought Billy was great on the podcast because Christopher and Billy are both the same age. They're Marlins babies. They're both like 5 or 6 years old when the Marlins are born. So these are two guys who grew up with the Marlins, who are genuine Marlins fans. And we talk a lot about that fandom and break down the Braves series. And, you know, the thing for me is the biggest surprise for me in the Cubs series, and tiny little sample, two games, but the Marlins bullpen was really good. They rang up 6 1/3 scoreless innings, bad bullpen during most of the season, earned run average of 5.5. So if they can have a few more days this week of that bullpen we saw in the last series, they have a chance.